We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation, from Birmingham over to Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, all of the Huntsville region and parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. And oh, by the way, going live in Chattanooga here very soon. Chattanooga is going to cover the whole Chattanooga, East Tennessee region. WGOW out of Chattanooga, and also down into northwest Georgia and into northeast Alabama, up in the mountain region there in Scottsboro and Jackson County and all of it. And we're excited about it. So, yeah, looking forward to that. That comes up on the 13th, and we'll tell you more about that as time permits. But in the meantime, I got to jump into this next topic. So tomorrow there's a massive situation happening in Congress. It is massive. I mean, how many times we talked about Nancy Pelosi or, you know, Kevin McCarthy? What, the Speaker of the House is one of the most powerful positions in all of U.S. government. It's the person who basically keeps the train running, right? It's the person who sets the tone and the agenda and makes the appointments for committees and does all the things necessary to keep the congressional record moving forward. Now, we have had our time with that. The Republicans, we are not afraid to dethrone somebody. And I look at that and go, that's healthy on the one hand. It can be a royal pain, but it's still healthy. The Democrats, what do? Well, Nancy Pelosi gets to keep it as long as she wants to. Chucky Schumer, he could be the head of the Senate as long as he wants to. And you think, all right, when are you going to stop with that? You got these octogenarians who are power hungry, who will not let go of the gavel in either one of those bodies. Whereas on the Republican side, we got rid of John Boehner. We got rid of Paul Ryan. I mean, and we literally got rid of them. Like, John Boehner had to resign. Paul Ryan not only stepped down from the speakership, he got out of Congress. Kevin McCarthy got rid of him. What'd he do? He left. I mean, This is the Republican side of things. I like to consider this as the Republicans are willing to clean house. They accuse us of being in lockstep. Shoot. Look at them. They accuse us of being, that's funny. They accuse us of being in lockstep, and they are the ones who will never change a thing. They won't call anybody out. They won't have any accountability. On the Republican side, It can get a bit like, you know, it's kind of like having the crazy uncle come to Thanksgiving. It gets a little boisterous. Now, it can be healthy and it can also be unhealthy. If it's people just trying to make change for the sake of change, then ain't no value in it. If it's people trying to assert power or get something for themselves in doing it, there's no value in that. All that does is slow the wheels of government. It's kind of like what I talked about a while ago when I got frustrated talking about the idea of a gambling bill coming up again in the Alabama legislature. There's no value in it. All it does is suck the life out of other good things that could take place on behalf of the people. Well, in D.C. right now, we got a situation. So Mike Johnson, let's not forget who he is, all right? Mike Johnson is an extremely conservative individual. I'm not positive. I think he may have been with the Freedom Caucus. He's got extreme street cred when it comes to being a conservative. He was a lawyer for the Alliance Defending Freedom, a constitutionalist. He is somebody who has fought for conservative things that right-side ruffians care about. I remember when he first got tapped for the position, he kind of came out of nowhere. I didn't see it coming. I mean, I'm not all inside the bubble up there, but I got sources. And so I got Congressman Gary Palmer on the phone. I said, "You like Mike Johnson?" He says, "Phil, I love Mike Johnson." Now, Gary Palmer is the one who founded the Alabama Policy Institute, and I think the world of him. He's as conservative as the day is long. And Gary Palmer said, "Loves Mike Johnson." Okay. At the same time, imagine what it's like trying to run an organization where you have a majority of just a few. Like, basically, if anybody defects or gets sick or retires, you lose your votes. Dang. All right, so that's where he's been for the last year. He's been fighting an uphill battle. But there have been some great things happening. We've been watching investigations in the House since he took the gavel. We've been watching things except for spending. Spending bills are where he has just about had his own undoing. So Mike Johnson, And I don't understand. I don't understand the reasons why he did what he did. And granted, I'm not in the room, so I give him the props of knowing that he has to make decisions that go beyond anything that I'm aware of. That being said, from the outside looking in, all I could see was what other people could see and what some of the conservatives in Congress who I really trust were seeing, people like Thomas Massey and Chip Roy and other members of the Freedom Caucus going, what in God's name is this spending bill? Why did you get with Hakeem Jeffries and give him a wish list? Why did you work with the Democrats to come out with something that is 1,600 pages long and spins us into oblivion once again when you know that we've been saying stop the madness? And the people who had just finished voting a month before to bring the Trump era back in are all about DOGE and cutting government and trying to make things, you know, cleaner and more efficient in government and spend less. Please. And yet we had a bill that was going to do nothing but run things up. So what did he do? Well, he got busy. He basically heard. And so, first of all, props for this. He heard the bill was not going to pass. The bill was pulled, but he was going to stay. They were going to vote again. And what did he do? He brought back a bill that was something like 160 pages, which is something you look at it and go, so why couldn't you do that on day one? Now, it still didn't. It still allowed the spending cap to be, you know, pushed out for a decision later this next year. The debt ceiling is something we have got to deal with. The debt ceiling is like the limit on your credit card, right? And you know, you see times when your credit card limit's getting close and the bank gives you a little more to work with. Suddenly you went from 10,000 to 12,000, from 12,000 to 15,000. Oh, good. Now I can just rack up more debt. That's what the U.S. government is doing. By extending the credit limit or the debt ceiling, they are increasing the amount of debt we're allowed to have. We've been calling as conservatives for that to be curtailed, to please bring that into a place of reasonableness. We have $36 trillion in debt, and you're going to push this decision off, and now guess what's going to happen? They're going to, because of the way the legislation was done for the debt ceiling, it has to be dealt with probably in March or April of this coming year. This year. You know what that means? The Democrats, because we have such a slim majority, are going to hold that over our heads like a hammer. They're going to use it as a tool, a bargaining chip, to try and get more debt because all Democrats know how to do is spend, but apparently all Republicans know how to do is spend lately. So all that to say, the conservatives in the Freedom Caucus really about had it. Mike Johnson's vote is tomorrow. The House of Representatives will go to the floor of the House tomorrow to vote for Speaker of the House. The only name in the hat is Mike Johnson. There's no other candidate. There's no one that we can say has been openly campaigning for the opposition to compete as an opposition. The Democrats will only vote for Hakeem Jeffries. They will. They'll vote for Hakeem Jeffries, so they're not going to be able to count on that. The Democrats will try to, and what the scary thing is, if you're not careful, if too many Republicans defect, then you run the risk of Democrats having more votes. So that means Republicans that are opposed are going to have to vote no, because the majority goes with the number who are voting. If they don't show up for their votes, if they hold out like in a protest, well, that's bad form. All of a sudden, Democrats have more clout. So that means they have to show up and vote no. But voting no, what does this do? Okay, here's the thing. Here's the controversy. Like, for instance, I'm looking at a guy named DC Drano on Twitter, and I don't agree with this. He says, when it comes down to the speaker's race, only one thing truly matters, Trump's endorsement. He won the popular vote, all three branches of government, so now he gets to pick his speaker. It's simple as that. No, it's not. That is wrong. There are three co-equal branches of government. Does Trump's agenda matter? Absolutely it does, because every member of the Republican caucus in the House said they were on board with that agenda. So there's that. Does Trump's endorsement matter? Of course it does, because the people overwhelmingly fought to get Trump back in office, but we also fought to have a congressional majority. Does Trump get to pick the speaker? No. Trump does not get a say. He gets an endorsement. He gets an encouragement. He can make phone calls. He can do the things necessary to lobby for it. He can ask people to please get on board with the vote. But this is not about Trump having his speaker. This is about Trump having an agenda, though, and that's the point. What I don't want to see happen, what we can't afford to have happen, is the first 30, 60, 90 days of the Trump administration being spent wasting our time dithering around trying to figure out who's going to be Speaker of the House while the Democrats laugh and the Trump agenda gets stymied over and over and over again. We need for Trump to take office and have not only the power of the pen for executive orders, but have the power of the House and the Senate to pass true legislation, because executive orders can get undone later. The next president comes in, he can do away with every executive order. We saw it happen with Biden. But if Congress passes the Trump tax cuts and the funding of the wall and the passage of banning transgenders in the military and opening up our energy pipeline again, if you see these things being done through congressional and Senate approval, it is now law. And the only way they can undo it is to truly undo it through congressional action later. We don't have time to screw around with people. Well, I just don't, I'm just mad at Mike Johnson. I get it, but now's not the time. You can be mad at Mike Johnson in about 6 months. You can force him out and with a vote of no confidence later in the year. Not today. Tomorrow they need to go to the floor, need to debate, they need to holler, they need to scream, they need to be the family that's fussing about things. And in the end, the family reunion needs to take place. They need to kumbaya. They need to go ahead and vote him on in there and get her done. That's my thought.
My thing is, if you're going to complain, you better have somebody good to replace him with.
Absolutely.
Like, it's
like, what's your plan?
You can't just scream and fuss. Okay, who are you going to replace him with? I don't know. It's like, then that does nothing. And I saw Marjorie Taylor Greene say that she wants Elon Musk as the speaker. It's like, okay, let's come out of fantasy land and come to reality here and actually, you know. It's just, it looks like they're just infighting to infight at that point. If you don't have an actual realistic replacement.
Yeah. Yeah. No, can't, there's no time for that. And you're right. I love it. There was a time when I got real sideways with the Business Council of Alabama one time. I mean, I typically, BCA and I agreed on almost everything. I was a very business friendly guy. I was for economic incentives, that kind of stuff, but they wanted a gas tax. And I was the deciding no vote on the gas tax, myself and my buddy Bill Holtzclaw from Huntsville. We were the no votes, and sitting on the back row, but I was the last in line for the roll call. And so it all came down to how's Williams going to vote? And I voted no, and pretty vocally. And you know, they knew going in where I was. They still took the vote. So they did not get the vote. Well, the BCA was ticked. But my Billy Canary, who used to run the BCA, was a friend of mine. I still love Billy. And we talked recently. And I went to him and I said, I want you to know I'm a no, but I'm a no with a plan. And that's the point.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to, there's no value in being no without a plan. If you're going to be a no, have an alternative. And right now I'm not hearing any alternatives.
Not at all. I can't think of any. I've seen Massey's name kind of float around, but I don't think he would.
Yeah, I don't think he's got the support for it, though.
He doesn't. He's almost too much of an absolutist. Like, I give him credit that he sticks by what he believes in, but at some point, I feel like there's got to be a little bit of wiggle room. And I agree, maybe Mike Johnson has too much wiggle room, but I don't know. It's just, I really hope the infighting, the start of Trump's presidency doesn't happen with infighting.
I like the fact that right now, in a narrow majority, these super conservatives, and we need them. We need the Thomas Masseys. We need the Chip Roys. We need the Marjorie Taylor Greens. We need them. They keep us honest. Barry Moore from Alabama. We need them. And I love the fact that in a narrow, narrow majority, they can make a difference. Because if we had a super, super majority with, you know, he didn't need the Freedom Caucus, then we wouldn't get any conservative concessions on the bills. But this is not the fight.
Nope.
Not yet.
Not time.
Not yet. Do it later. All right. Wow. That was quite the soliloquy. Thanks for joining in. Take me to a break, brother. We'll take a break right now. Last break of the day on whatever day of the week this is. We don't even know. We're just proud that we're here live and y'all are here with us. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. Be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, pulling pins on truth grenades. That's what we're doing. Bulletproof influence, I like to say around here. Bulletproof influence. Well, hey, let me jump on the phone real quick. Mike from Arabs on the line. Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good. How about you, Phil?
I'm good, man. What's on your mind?
I agree with you on Mike Johnson. I mean, he's any man's dog that'll hunt. But you're right. Right now is not the time to debate this out.
Yeah.
But another thing, a lot of people forget, the Speaker of the House does not have to be a congressman.
That's right. It's crazy, but it's true.
So, but I mean, with Trump coming in like he is, changing things, that wouldn't be so out of left field to do something like that if you can't get one out of the Congress we have.
So maybe we have Speaker Ramaswamy come in and handle things.
That was the first name that came to mind, honestly.
I mean, listen, I'd be supportive of that. And I'm trying to think when it happened, but there was, in fact, one time in U.S. history, I believe, when a speaker was not a member of Congress, and I've forgotten who it was. Was it John Adams? I'll look that up. But, yeah. Hey, Mike, thanks for the call. Appreciate you, man.
Yes, sir. Thank you, bro.
Take care. I got to see if you can look that up real quick. Gary M.S. from Huntsville says, Gary M. from South Huntsville, I'm pretty sure it's what that is. Gary M. from South Huntsville says, early this morning I was listening to a few speeches by Nigel Farage, and he's my favorite, by the way. Nigel Farage, I love Nigel Farage. He's a member of Parliament in England. He seems to have a lot of support the other members, and I love the way he thinks. Gary, you are hitting one of my high points. In fact, if you haven't ever listened to it, if you like Nigel Farage, go listen to his speech to the EU about Brexit. One of my favorite lines. He says, 10 years ago, I told you all I'd be here this day, and you laughed at me. Well, you're not laughing now. And it just went on from there. Oh, good. Oh, he says he did listen to that speech. Good. Glad of it. It's one of my favorite speeches. I've actually used that in teaching leadership. It's a great speech. John from Huntsville has the grades in. He says, Butters and Lee both get an A double plus for equally amazing performances. However, today's co-winners are Phil and JP with a perfect A triple plus. By the way, got a feeling that J-Town might be celebrating in a couple hours. A lot of game left, but they're at halftime, 13-3, Notre Dame. What'd you find out?
By the way, I looked up this fact check on 13newsnow.com. Claims that every speaker in history has in practice been a member of the House of Representatives.
Okay.
Says it doesn't have to be, but it claims that they have always been.
Okay. All right, cool. I could have sworn there was one time, or maybe it was something that was floated and it almost happened. I don't know. What else we got on here? David from Bucky's saying not looking good for Georgia. Can they mount a comeback second half? JP, what do you think? Are they going to?
I don't think so.
And then Ben from Decatur says, regard to Speaker in Congress, does GOP have the job description of that position that can refer them to guidelines to get in line with each other? Probably not, man. Probably not. It's healthy. It's a healthy fighting family. All right, hey, listen. There's more of us than there are of them. God's still on his throne. Y'all stay in the fight. We'll see you tomorrow.